Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another bite-sized political podcast. Thank you very much for your support, and I do hope you enjoy these. Okay, if you do, by the way, hit the heart button. That's your job for the next 5 minutes. Hit the heart button and let me know you enjoy this. What I want to talk about is, well, something every parent understands intuitively, and that is this. The role of a parent is to look after their children, their most precious asset, if you like. We all love our children and we all care for our children and we want our children to be safe and well. So it's interesting that the decision that was taken yesterday to jab our 12 to 15-year-old children with a treatment for which there are no medium to long-term studies was taken by a man in the form of Professor Chris Whitty, who has no children himself. And I think that is by no means an insignificant point. He has no children, so he doesn't know what a mother and a father feel. And I can tell you that, you know, and even from a grandfather's point of view, I can tell you I feel that the most important thing really is, your kids and your grandkids, and you will do anything for them. That's how it is. That's what parental love means. But yesterday we had Chris Whitty, a man, as I say, with no family, and he is quite prepared to sacrifice our kids on the high altar of continuing to terrify us with coronavirus. It's just that simple. So here we have something which we know at this point in the game is little more in terms of fatality than a bad flu, and yet we're going to sacrifice the kids' bodily autonomy on the high altar of him doing that which he wants. Now, the other person who has been obviously happy about this is the Education Secretary, Gavin Williamson. And I read that his department, the Education Department, has been pushing for this rollout because they're scared of the militant teaching unions who refused to work, if you remember, at the height of the pandemic. They cleared off. They were not prepared to go into school and caused the young to miss roughly 107 days of education last year. Get that, 107 days of education. That's a good third of the year in terms of academic time. So the reality is here that this pandering to teachers is to try and diffuse the threat from the teaching unions. So basically, our kids will get jabbed for no good health reason just to keep the teachers happy. And the same teachers, by the way, I mean, what do you think the chances are, because of the way this whole thing has been constructed, that the teachers will be able to lobby the children to take the jab? Can you imagine young, impressionable 12-year-olds in a classroom? Can we have dash cams in the classroom, please, so we can be certain that no such lobbying takes part? Because were that to be the case, I would like to see any such teacher who encourages young 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds to take mRNA gene therapy treatment, I'd like to see them prosecuted and certainly made liable for any risk. They need to be made personally liable for any risk that child would face or would encounter. But that's where we are. That's where we are. We have lazy teachers who basically don't want to be in the classroom and who are frightened for some reason that I don't understand. But we're going to get the corona if we don't get the kids jabbed. But hey, teachers, you've all been jabbed. If you've been jabbed, well, first of all, why were you jabbed? What do you think the purpose of you being jabbed is? As we seem to have reached the point where the narrative is broken down to such a scale where the only thing they can say is, well, we've been jabbed because if we get it, then it won't be just as so bad on us, even though the evidence for that is extremely questionable. But just think about that for a moment. Yes, so it means that the symptoms, what you may experience, according to you, may be slightly worse than otherwise would be the case. But you can still spread it. So you could be still spreading it to the kids, couldn't you? You could still be transmitting it, couldn't you? So again, why do the kids have to be vaccinated to keep you safe? You've been vaccinated, so you're safe. So shut up. That's how it should be. But basically, this is where we are going. This is where we are going with this this government. They're going to just slide down the scale. So they've got from people in their 70s and 80s, they've got it all the way down now to 12-year-olds. And honestly, if anybody listening to this thinks they're going to stop at 12-year-olds, you know, you're fooling yourself. They will go right the way down to the point at which the child emerges from the womb. It's going to be one of the first jabs you get. You get your COVID jab, just like young kids get other jabs. They're going to slide the COVID jab into them, which means that ultimately one-year-old babies will have got the mRNA in them. And, you know, this whole issue about medium to long-term trials really matters, because if you're 85 or 90 and you take an experimental treatment and it doesn't work out too good for you in the medium and long-term, it doesn't matter, because you don't have a medium to long-term, right? But if you're a one-year-old child, you've got 80 years of life ahead of you, maybe longer. So it matters enormously to you. That's why jabbing anyone under the age of 50, arguably, is criminal. But in this case, they want to jab the kids. And in this case, they want to jab the kids so the teachers will not have an excuse to bail out of the classroom. So that's the sort of clown world we're living in, folks. We're living in a clown world where we are prepared to ritually sacrifice our children, driven by a man who has no children himself, to appease a number of militant trade unions in the teaching profession who don't even want to teach. Wonder what you think of that one. Do let me know your thoughts. Thanks so much for listening.